A farinaceous dust settled on the clearing, created in the wake of the barrage that preceded the Imperial attack. Churned earth, loosened and sent skywards by the continuous explosive impacts from grenades and heavy cannon, had formed a grimy emulsion with the natural, heady atmosphere of the jungle. Tips of columns loomed in the fog like broken islands floating on a dirty sea. Enemies and allies alike became spectral silhouettes in the mud haze. Smoke from countless missile expulsions and venting rocket tubes drifted in lazy clouds, whilst lances of sunlight broke the leaf canopy above and turned grainy in the thickened atmosphere, only adding to the confusion. It was no barrier to Vulcan. He advanced through the gritty miasma keenly, dispatching foes with his hammer as they presented themselves. His pyre guard were arrayed around him, and together they'd cut a bloody trail to reach the halfway marker. A tactical map overlaying one corner of his retinal display told him the precise distance remaining to the arch. So vast and sprawling was the alien edifice that it dominated the short horizon constantly, seen through an iridescent kine shield. Icons identifying the rest of his legion suggested they were making solid progress too, but the Primarch and his Praetorians had a definite lead. The army divisions were faring less well. Sustained autofire had mulched much of the jungle foliage into a mist that got into the lungs of the Farians and any of their leaders who weren't wearing rebreather masks. Between the screams of those brought down by the Eldar's salvos or assassinated by sniper shot, Vulcan heard men choking on the vaporized vegetation as they were pushed into the breach by their eager overseers. With the cessation of the initial army bombardment, the air was thinning again. A section of broken column resolved through the slow dispersal of settling earth particles. Architecturally, it was not unlike the Node Temple they'd encountered earlier, and suggested a civilization that predated human colonization had once dominated this world. Likely it had been the Eldar, but in more halcyon times. Vulcan saw the bodies of the aliens strewn around its circular plinth. It was a grim reminder of just how much they'd lost in the dark millennia before the Great Crusade and man's preeminence in the galaxy. That the Eldar had lasted this long was testament to their persistence and courage. Any foe willing to try to resist the strength and power of two Primarchs was worthy of respect, however grudgingly given. What bothered Vulcan, as he'd torn into the aliens' ranks, was why they were so dogged when they faced certain annihilation. Flee, and they would live. What did it matter if this world was lost to them? It was little more than a wild frontier world, cluttered with broken remnants of stone that no longer mattered. Why would the Eldar cling to it with such fatal determination? As before, the sense of something unknown sprang to the fore of Vulcan's mind, but he was unable to give his suspicions form or cause. For now, combat focused his mind, gave him a purpose that supplanted all other concerns. From the initial weapons exchange, the battle had devolved into a series of closer skirmishes. Revealed through the clearing fog, army divisions were assaulting in force on several fronts with bayonets, knives, and close-quarters gunfire. Sheer weight of numbers and the single-minded drive of their overseers and discipline masters provided the men with small but increasingly significant victories. The Eldar outmatched them one-on-one, but their numbers were dwindling. Divisions from both the Salamanders and Iron Hands were making punishing inroads, and the air was rank with the stink of reptilian carcasses. Both legions were stolid and determined. Vulcan suns attacked with a cleansing flame, burning the Eldar back and crushing any survivors with a combined push, whereas the warriors of Ferus Manus engaged the enemy with the same molten anger as their Primarch, breaking the aliens with shock and awe. The Morlocks, in particular, were singular fighters, the equal of the Fire Drakes, and Vulcan was glad to be fighting alongside his brother and his Praetorians. Even so, he would not be outdone lightly. Such was the ferocity of Vulcan and his Pyre Guard. A widening gyre of dead and broken Eldar had formed around them. It presented a rare moment to pause, and in the brief respite, Vulcan looked for Ferus. He wasn't hard to find. The Gorgon fought without his battle helm and was bludgeoning his way into the enemy's flank. Forgebreaker rose and fell like a metronome in his silver hands, crushing skulls and smashing Eldar into the air with the hammer's every formidable swing. Zeal and fury radiated from his granite face as he drove the Morlocks relentlessly. Blistering fire flared between both sides, but none of the Iron Hands slowed, let alone fell. The kindred of Eldar fighting them were soon overwhelmed and lethally dispatched, but more enemies were coming. Encouraged by the bloodletting, a pack of crimson-scaled Carnadons snorted a throaty challenge. Their riders bellowed for the monsters to charge. The Iron Hands were still cutting down a few defiant stragglers from the Eldar kindred when Ferus Manus bellowed at them. Vulcan could read his lips and imagine his wrath. "Finish them now!" In his eagerness to end the fight quickly, a wayward blow from the Primarch's hammer crunched through the side of a nearby column and sent it tumbling. Vulcan balked when he saw who was in its path. Like a ghost materializing corporeally in the fog, the boy child appeared from nowhere. His naked torso was drenched in sweat and someone else's blood, and he wailed blindly as he fled. As if sensing the sudden danger, the boy child froze abruptly in the shadow of the falling column and could only watch his impending death approaching. He raised his arms feebly over his eyes. "Don't look, child." Vulcan was running, leaving his Praetorians behind him. It would not be enough. Without intervention, the column would crush the boy child. He cried out, knowing that to even witness the death of such an innocent would forever stain his immortal soul. Arrested from his battle frenzy by his brother's anguish, Ferus turned and saw the danger.
"First Captain!"
he bellowed, and Gabriel Santar was there. At his urging, the Morlocks drove on ahead of him to meet the Carnadons with bolters flaring. Santar lagged behind and threw himself against the collapsing column. Using both hands, he caught the chunk of broken stone and held it. Servos in his bionic arm and legs whined in protest at the sudden strain they were put under. He had enough strength spare to turn his head towards the terrified infant. His grey eyes churned with the turmoil of a captured storm as he glowered down at him.
"Flee now!"
Screaming, the boy child ran. As if heralding a flood, there were suddenly hundreds of the fleeing humans. Like leaves blown about on an eddying breeze, the frightened flock scurried in all directions and from everywhere at once.
"Terror and the Emperor!"
breathed Ferus Manus, unable to comprehend the insane exodus.
"My lord!"
In spite of his cybernetics, Gabriel Santar's legs buckled to the knee, and his elbows bent with the sheer, immense weight of the column. The Gorgon was quick to relieve him, stowing Forgebreaker and hoisting the broken chunk of rock from his equerry as though it were little more than a bolter. He roared to the Morlocks, who were seconds from hand-to-hand combat.
"Down!"
and hurled the shattered pillar like a spear. The front Carnadon took the brunt of the improvised missile, howling in agony as its forelegs were broken. It hit the ground muzzle first, trammeling the other beasts that tripped and blundered, losing the impetus of their attack. The Morlocks were quickly amongst them, Santar having rejoined their ranks. Ferus Manus glowered at Vulcan, his gimlet gaze singling out the other Primarch easily in the throng.
I suppose you're going to tell me to try not to kill them,
he declared through the feed. It was easier said than done. Though the boy child had reached relative safety, Vulcan saw hundreds fleeing in his wake. The natives were running loose all over the killing fields, heedless of the danger. Emerging from their nests and hidden places in a panicked mass, it was as if the humans had been displaced from a major settlement by the Eldar war host. Either that, or it was some desperate gambit on the aliens' part to try to disrupt the Imperium's inevitable victory. Vulcan felt his wrath for the Eldar renewed. Painful reminders of Nocturne during the time of trial, when fire rained from the sky and the earth cracked, flickered in his mind. He remembered their fear and the grim resignation, all they had striven for, that everything that they had created was about to end. Perhaps the tribes of Ibsen were not so different after all. Ibsen again. He saw this world through a fresh lens. But why? Ferris was right. Flesh was weak. But because he was strong, Vulcan was duty-bound to protect them. Whatever the cause of the frantic flight, the humans were at terrible risk. Entire families raced madly through the fading fog, screaming and wailing as a pervasive hysteria overtook them. Some even attacked the army divisions in their desperation to escape, throwing rocks or beating them with their fists. None dared approach the legionaries for fear of the consequences. And if they'd carried carbines and rifles instead of sticks and rocks? The tribal tattoos, the apparent ease with which they'd been conquered, coupled with the Eldar's total infiltration, in spite of his empathy, Vulcan began to wonder just how far from the Emperor's light the natives had fallen. Through the smoky bloom of a grenade detonation, a mother and daughter emerged unscathed. Vulcan saw them running. They were just a few meters from the Primarch's position. Then he noticed the unexploded shell in their path. The girl child was already screaming when a second grenade, fallen from a dead trooper's grasp, rolled up to the shell.
"Prior guard!" Vulcan roared. "Shield them!"
The Praetorians were catching up to the Primarch, but had reacted to the danger. Hot frag pierced the shell's casing, and it erupted in a firestorm. Numion and Varun put their bodies between it and the cowering humans, crouching over them and wrapping their drake cloaks around them. The rain of fire and shrapnel vented to nothing without causing harm. Numion was shaking the dust from his helmet lenses when a tiny infant hand pressed against his plastron. He met the girl child's curious gaze and was abruptly stunned. Then they were gone, lost to the madness. The mother wasn't about to wait for another stray bullet or lurking shell to claim them. For Numion, the moment of connection passed as swiftly as it had materialized. Vulcan reached them quickly.
"Thank you, my sons."
Both nodded, but Numion's eyes went briefly to the fog the girl child had vanished into.
"Protect them," said Vulcan softly, following his equerry's gaze.
"With our breath and blood, my Primarch," Numion replied. "With our breath and blood."
Vulcan opened the comm feed.
"Ferris, despite their agitation, these are innocents. Be mindful. Concern yourself with killing the enemy, not saving the natives, Vulcan."
The Gorgon scowled, but his face softened before engaging the Carnadons.
"I'll do what I can."
A band of iron was tightening around the Eldar's defensive strongpoint. Vulcan knew if he continued to advance through the center and Ferris maintained his pace into the flank, their paths would meet. Together they would destroy the arch and end the Eldar's occupation of Ibsen. He only hoped it would not take an unconscionable loss of human life to achieve it. As of yet,
Nothing had penetrated the psychic shield emanating from the coven of Eldar witches surrounding the arch. Vulcan had also yet to see the female seer who'd almost defeated his legion back in the jungle. She was the one the Eldar looked to for leadership. Dispatch her, and the aliens would be all but defeated. Victory was near, but something still gave the Primarch pause. Above him, the jungle canopy was vast, dark, and labyrinthine. Like his brothers, Vulcan had good instincts and harbored the sense that something watched him from those lofty arbors. Something predatory. But his hesitation was not merely on account of that. Monsters he could kill easily enough. He'd been unsettled ever since speaking to Veras. The feeling was not one he was accustomed to, nor was the way the human had spoken to him. And yet the Primarch had allowed it unchallenged. Veras was hiding something. It was only now, his thoughts purified by the anvil of war, that he realized it. Stern of face, Vulcan resolved to get answers from the Remembrancer. For now, such truths would have to wait. Through the haze, a small band of Eldar emerged to attack the Primarch. Their armor was different from the others, azure-plated and more martial in aspect. Crested helms, more ornate in design than those of their ranger brethren, concealed their faces, and from within the folds of vermilion capes they drew long, angular swords. A low hum presaged a crackle of energy fed down the blades. Vulcan signaled to his Praetorians. Several Eldar kindreds had been drawn to the Primarch to try and slow or even stop the obvious threat, but his retinue were killing everything around them.
Pyre Guard, make it swift!
Dispatching the last of their enemies, they rushed ahead of Vulcan and into the Eldar Blademasters. They weren't alone. An ululating war cry announced a vast herd of raptors powering through the dissipating fog. Energy lances dipping, they thundered towards Vulcan from the side. The Blademasters, trading flashing blows with the Pyre Guard, had deliberately drawn off the Praetorians.
Cunning, Vulcan muttered.
Facing off against the raptors, he hefted Thunderhead.
Those tiny spears cannot scratch me, he roared, and smashed the weapon into the ground.
The earth splintered under the incredible hammer blow, cracking and fragmenting outwards in an ever-widening crater. Through sheer strength, Vulcan projected the bone-shattering force into a massive earth tremor that radiated lethally towards the charging raptors. Chunks of dispersing rock spewed up from the ground in a brittle spume of grit and shards. The raptors screeched and faltered, rearing madly as the quake hit. Riders toppled or were swept from their saddles by the earthy deluge. Staggered, all but annihilated, the front rankers disappeared in the mud storm and were crushed by the momentum of the stampede behind them. Hindered by the dead and dying, the survivors could only cry out as Vulcan rose to his haunches and sprang into them. The Eldar and their Saurians didn't last long. By the time Vulcan was done with the grisly work, the Pyre Guard had slain the last of the Blademasters. Gan had a savage dent in his battle plate, and Igataron had lost his helmet during the fight, but otherwise the Praetorians were intact.
We are losing ground,
said Vulcan, seeing that Ferus had killed the last of the giant Carnadons. Numion gestured with his bloody halberd blade.
Scattered remnants are all that stand in our way, Primarch.
The equerry was right. The Eldar were almost done. They'd fought tooth and nail against the Imperium, but with the destruction of the Carnadons, their resistance was at an end. Only one feat remained before total victory was assured. The monolithic arch stood unharmed behind the psychic shield, the coven of witches in place around it,
their chanting uninterrupted since the battle began. Vulcan scoured their ranks, peering through the psychic energy veil, but he could find no sign of the female seer. Yet the sensation of being watched from overhead persisted.
"She is here somewhere,"
he muttered, turning his gaze from the enshrouding jungle canopy to the battlefield.
"The aliens have one last card to play before this is over."
By now, the other salamanders were close at hand. Even the army divisions were nearing the outer boundaries of the arch. Ferus Manus wasn't about to wait for reinforcement. He was advancing on the coven. Vulcan turned to his retinue.
"Come on!"
Though spirited, the last of the Eldar defenders broke against the brutal determination of Vulcan and his Praetorians. Maimed and mangled aliens lay cold behind them. Memories of Broigar's death at the cruel blades of the Eldar Witch surfaced inexplicably in the Primarch's mind, stoking the flames of his violence further. He barely saw his enemies anymore. Their identities were lost to him, subsumed collectively into the face of the female slaver.
"Primarch."
It was Numion who brought him back again, loyal, steadfast Numion. Vulcan gripped his armored shoulder.
"I'm sorry, my son. The fires of battle overcame me for a time."
Numion needed no explanation.
"We are here."
Luminous blossoms of energy flashed along the shield as the Iron Hands tried to crack it open. Bolter shells exploded impotently against the inviolable surface, whilst flamer bursts and heavier fire had similar effect. Ferus Manus swung Forgebreaker, and the weapon rebounded harmlessly. Seeing Vulcan in his peripheral vision, he turned.
"Any idea how we bring this thing down?"
Vulcan looked through the transparent psychic membrane. Despite the continuous chanting, the Eldar witches were beginning to show signs of fatigue. Sweat veined their pale, eldritch faces, and they grimaced with extreme concentration. Their strength was fading. He hefted Thunderhead, enjoying the feel of the grip and the sense of its power.
"I was going to try hitting it over and over again until it cracks."
Ferus grinned, a rare sight on one so serious and taciturn.
"It'll be like breaking in a new anvil."
He was about to swing again when a deafening screech radiated from above, shaking the entire jungle canopy for kilometers around. The earth trembled as the screech became a throaty, bestial roar. In that moment, the light died as if a cloud had obscured the sun. At the threshold to the arch, a dappled light had fallen on the shield, lending it a brilliant sheen. It disappeared in an instant, as something vast and terrible eclipsed it. A noisome stench had filled the air, making it heavy and thick. Looking up into the benighted sky, Vulcan wrinkled his nose. It emanated from a monster. The massive shadow descending towards them was shaped like a pterosaur, only much, much bigger. Though it barely moved its membranous wings, the downdraft pushed the advancing Farians to their knees. Some stayed like that or sank further, huddling in fetal terror. The legionaries stood their ground with the Primarchs, appraising the beast coldly through their helmet lenses. A bleat of reptilian voices snapped at the air as a flock of smaller pterosaurs appeared from behind the pterodon's incredible wingspan. Ferus Manus leveled his hammer at them.
"Scything rain!"
The Morlocks released a bolter storm. Whirling and shrieking, the pterosaurs were torn apart. Several stray bursts exploded against the thorny hide of the giant pterodon, which only maddened the beast further. It was gnarled and old, like some monster of myth made flesh. Myriad scars stitched its leathery torso, and a vast horn, dark with age and bloodstains, jutted from its bony snout.
Talons as long as the Primarch was tall curved from rough-hided toes. Umber-colored scales, thicker than any battle plate ever forged, scalloped its back and limbs, while its long prehensile tail ended in an axe-headed barb. Impressive as the monster was, Vulcan's attention was drawn by its rider.
There you are.
The female seer had bound this creature to her will and saddled it. Incredibly, she needed no hands to ride the monster and carried an eldritch staff in one and a glittering rune blade in the other. Garbed for war, her intent was obvious as she glared at the two Primarchs. Vulcan removed his drake helm, wanting to meet the monster eye to eye, and his face curled into a snarl.
We must kill this thing, you and I.
A primordial roar drowned out the Gorgon's reply, showering its enemies with hot saliva and reptile stink. Men quailed, some soiled themselves and fled. The legionaries opened fire. Brass bolter shells erupted like fiery blooms across its ribbed belly. The beast rose to its haunches, wings splayed like some saurian angel, and then slammed the membranous tissue together in a thunderous collision. A deep throb raked the air, carried by the dull boom resonating from the point of impact. A tempest was unleashed upon the Imperial forces. Farians and officers alike were flung back screaming, their innards pulped by the massive shockwave. They spun, doll-like, limbs flailing brokenly in the hurricane. Trees bowed, bent and ripped apart. Severed trunks and clumps of scattered foliage impaled tanks and flattened entire cohorts in the savage welter of debris. They resisted determinedly, but even the legionaries were sent sprawling, a thick and dirty cloud spilling after them. Ferus gritted his teeth, standing his ground with Vulcan. His rage was written loudly upon his face.
I have no quarrel with that, brother.
An arena lay before them of ragged tree stumps and flattened jungle flora. A gritty patina washed over their armor and surrounded the beast like a low-lying earthy fog. It glared at them, expressing its ancient hate and malice, dwarfing the Primarchs utterly.
Try again, monster, said Vulcan, dropping his voice to a predatory rumble.
He heard a low whomp of displaced air and registered a blur of sudden movement in time to slam into Ferus Manus and bear him down. A scaled, gnarled mass whipped overhead as the pterodon's axe-bladed tail narrowly missed the Gorgon's exposed neck. Vulcan was quickly up on his feet and moving.
Don't lose your head, brother, Ferus scowled. Worry about your own. It'll take more than that to cut my flesh.
He was moving too, making for the pterodon's blind side to flank it. Its monstrous size and strength were formidable advantages, but with its enemies splitting up, it couldn't bring them to bear against both. Emitting a reverberant screech, it went after Vulcan. Hunting monsters was second nature to the Primarch of the Salamanders. Nocturne was lair to many scaled and chitinous horrors. As a boy, Vulcan had slain them all. Even the drake he wore as his mantle was huge. But this was a behemoth. He lost sight of Ferus behind the pterodon's bulk, but stayed near to the beast to deny it its greater reach. The brackish reptile's stench was potent up close. Mortal men would have gagged on its foul aroma, but Vulcan had ranged the steps of Mount Deathfire and endured its sulphurous vapors. This was nothing to him. A hot chain of sparks flew off the Primarch's armor as the monster caught him with its talons before he turned and smashed Thunderhead into its flank. Its scales buckled and snapped. The cracks in the monster's natural armor filled with blood, and a shriek of pain tore from its throat. A heady, coppery scent dirtied the air further, and Vulcan knew he'd hurt it. Keep moving. It was a mantra in the Primarch's head as he chased along the pterodon's flank. Stop and we die.
No man could hope to face such a monster, let alone fight it. Primarchs were more than men, more than space marines. They were like unto gods, but even gods could fall. As if hearing his thoughts, the monster came again. It lunged, and Vulcan narrowly avoided the razor teeth. He came up for a retaliatory strike, but the beast snapped at him again, and he dropped his shoulder to dodge. It used its bulk to slam into him, and Vulcan staggered before edging back. Teeth as long as chain blades and drooling with saliva loomed in the Primarch's eyeline. He swung Thunderhead in a narrow arc to loosen his wrist, readying to crush the monster's neck, when a clutch of roots spewed from the earth to trap him. Vulcan snarled. The witch was trying to even the odds with sorcery. He tore his arm free, but further serpentine bonds coiled around it, pinning him. Vulcan roared, and the beast roared with him, sensing its meal was close. Widening its chasmal jaw, the pterodon was about to bite off Vulcan's head when it reared up in sudden agony. Swinging its leathery neck to peer over its shoulder, it screeched at a second assailant.
"Like I said, worry about yourself, brother!"
Ferus Manus appeared from behind the monster, seen through the gaps between its massive limbs. He'd shattered a bone, framing its wing membrane, and leapt clear as it slashed at him belatedly with its tail. Shedding the root bonds, Vulcan punched Thunderhead into the beast's unprotected belly. Muscles ruptured and bones cracked, eliciting another shrill of bestial agony. A swipe of the pterodon's bladed wing claw prevented his follow-up attack and forced him to retreat, while Ferus Manus was kept at bay with stabbing thrusts of the monster's barbed tail. Venturing in close again, Vulcan took a chunk of scale from its back. The two-handed blow left gore drooling between the knots and scars of its body like before, and he knew its formidable strength was ebbing.
"We're close!" he yelled.
Ferus charged in to shatter the monster's standing leg. It screeched, stumbling in pain. A line of blood jetted across Vulcan's plastron as he caved in a portion of the pterodon's snout. It reeled before Ferus sheared through one of its wings, leaving the membranous tissue ragged. Between them, the savage Primarchs were tearing the monster apart. A bleat of panic escaped its throat, gurgling with the blood in its nasal cavity and mouth. The pterodon suddenly realized who was predator and who was prey. It tried to flee, but the Primarchs were relentless, battering its wings with continuous blows and pounding its body like it was a carcass for tenderizing. A flash from above presaged a jolt of lightning that struck Ferus in the chest, winding him. He staggered, and the monster was allowed to rise. Even though it was wounded, the hard beats of its wings were achieving loft. Another psychic bolt jagged down at Vulcan, but he evaded it and seized the pterodon's flank.
"There's no escape," he muttered,
gripping the edges of the monster's scales and using them like handholds as the ground steadily fell away and he was borne upwards.
"Vulcan!"
Ferus's shout was devoured by the wind rushing into Vulcan's ears. It whipped around him, whistling and screeching with the speed of the monster's ascent. Battered by the rigors of the elements, Vulcan gritted his teeth and clung on. Amidst the tempest engulfing him, he heard the tolling of metal on metal. The anvil beckoned. Crushed against the beast's coarse flank, the world around him devolving into a shrieking blur, he knew he had to rise. When he pulled his hand free, the fingers of his gauntlet were rimed with gore from where he'd been digging in. Grabbing another armored scale, Vulcan climbed. It was slow. Every moment held the threat of him losing his grip and being cast into arboreal oblivion below. Split branches fell like rain as they reached the forest canopy and surged through it. They scraped like claws across his face, and for a few seconds he was blinded, his vision filled by parting foliage.
Vulcan held on. The striking of the anvil tolled in his ears. After they'd breached the jungle roof, he was able to claw a little further up the pterodon's body and reach the bony nub of its foreleg. He fought the pressing sense of disorientation as all visual and auditory markers disappeared in the maddened ascent. Heavy wing beats throbbed painfully in his ears as direction lost all meaning. There was only the need to hang on and the will to climb. The beast flew higher. The sun still burned the sky, but it was wreathed in cloud as the monster rose ever further into the heavens. It couldn't shake him. It barely had the strength to climb, so Vulcan only needed to bear the raging wind that pulled at his body and tugged at his fingers. He dug in and ate up the slow meters to his prey. His mind retreated back to the lava chasm all those many long years ago. It was another life. Reaching the muscular join between the monster's wings, he found his enemy.
"Witch!"
he called, bellowing to be heard. She turned, looking over her shoulder. Her eyes flickered with psychic fire, and a bolt arrowed past Vulcan's face.
"You'll need to do better than that,"
he shouted. She angled her staff at the Primarch, releasing a lightning storm that scorched his armor and burned a scar down his cheek. Vulcan grimaced, but advanced undaunted. Each punishing handhold brought him closer than the last. Underneath his body, he could sense the monster tiring, hear its labored breathing, and feel its shuddering muscles as they reached the end of their endurance. Unable to climb any further, the pterodon pulled up and leveled out, enabling the Eldar Seer to leave her saddle and stand upon its vast muscular back. She confronted the Primarch, feeding power into the blade of her sword. Vulcan was on his feet. He drew his hammer, slowly and purposefully, to allow the full import of what fighting one of the Emperor's sons meant to settle on the Seer.
"Surrender now, and it will be swift," he promised.
She ran at him instead. Vulcan charged. The Primarch's footing was uneven across the monster's back, but he reached the Seer without stumbling. The rune blade wickered like a viper's tongue, raking Thunderhead's thick haft. She struck again, scoring a pectoral armor plate. Vulcan swung, but she sprang away from the death blow, impossibly agile, and landed perfectly on the pterodon's back. She lunged, aiming for Vulcan's heart. The thrust penetrated the Primarch's guard, but was turned aside by his armor. A crack presaged the breaking of her sword. The Seer gasped at the psychic backlash, recoiling instinctively as the energy tore at her, clutching at a blackened arm. Seizing her throat in his gauntleted fist, Vulcan bore the Elder Witch down.
"This world belongs to the Imperium."
She'd lost her staff, dropped over the edge of the monster, and her sword was a smoking hilt she'd also cast aside. All that remained was her defiance. She spat over Vulcan's armor, and there was blood mixed in with the phlegm.
"Barbarian!"
The imperial dialect sounded crude on her lyrical tongue.
"You don't know what you have done."
Her pale lips were flecked crimson, and the vigor in her eyes was fading.
"If you destroy it, you will doom this world more than you have already."
Vulcan loosened his grip and was rewarded with treachery. A burst of psychic fire flared between them, and he withdrew, letting the Seer go. A second blast threw him off his feet, and he was scrambling to hold on. Panicking, the Seer mounted the saddle and drove the pterodon into a suicidal dive. With a vertiginous lurch, Vulcan was falling, and he reached out desperately for something to hold on to as he pitched over the pterodon's side. She was chanting. Her lilting refrain unleashed spear-thick barbs from the forest below. Vulcan narrowed his eyes, and he dug his fingers between the plated scales. stomach flat against the pterodon's jellied hide, he weathered the debris storm that was suddenly bombarding him. Descent was swift. The strain of it pressed against the Primarch's body like an armored fist slowly clenching. The beast was almost done, plunging like a stone. It penetrated the broken leaf canopy as if breaching the atmosphere of a foreign world, but there was no fire, no aura of re-entry heat, just wind and the ground rushing to meet them. As the monster plummeted, Vulcan's grip loosened. Inertia was dragging the scales he was clinging to, threatening to rip apart the sinews holding them together and tear them off. The earth loomed, a flat and uncompromising expanse that only required gravity to pulp flesh and shatter bones. It seemed the seer was intent on killing them both. Vulcan hung on, hoping his superhuman endurance would see him through. 30 meters from impact, the pterodon's survival instincts took over. Emitting a plaintive yelp, it tried to pull out of the lethal dive, but was too late. Twisting its massive body in vain, the monster slammed into the earth. Darkness fell as a huge pall of dirt was thrown into the air by the impact. Ripped free from the monster's back, Vulcan was thrown clear, but came quickly to his feet. He wasn't far from where the pterodon had ditched. The beast had borne the brunt of the fall, and cracks emanated from its broken carcass. Its wings were tattered strips. The fleshy membrane was tougher than flak armor, but its shattered bones had sheared through it like blades. Thick fluid drooled down its crooked snout, and its neck was wrenched at an unnatural angle. Vulcan ran to it, knowing the seer might also have survived the fall. She was struggling from the wreckage, obscured by a slowly settling dust cloud. Blood painted her robes, and her leg was clearly broken. She glared at the Primarch as he approached her, snarling through red-rimed teeth. Summoning a nimbus of lightning, she raised her palm in a final defiant effort to kill him. Vulcan swung his hammer before the nascent psychic storm could manifest and took her head from her shoulders. Blood was still spewing from the ragged neck cavity when the body finally caught up to the mind, and the decapitated seer fell to her knees, then onto her front. She was quickly surrounded by a gory pool of her own spilling vital fluids. Ferus Manus quietly regarded the alien head that came to rest at his feet.
"It's over, brother,"
Vulcan told him. The Gorgon was pensive as he looked up.
"Victory!"